Well, good morning, everyone. I trust the Lord will meet with us here today. I have an interesting little title for you. I trust before we're done, you'll be challenged in your soul as I've been challenged. Would like to write a couple words up here. So what I've written up there on the board is the frog generation. So it's going to take me the rest of the time to explain what I'm talking about. And if we had more children here, maybe I would ask for more input from them. But I wonder how many here feel that you are closely related to a frog. Just so it's clear, I'll tell you that I don't. But I want to be careful that I don't start behaving like the frog that I'm going to tell you about at the end of our message. Because I've found that, I don't know, as I was thinking about today's service and this week, and feel like the Lord gave me some inspiration, and I want you all to know that anytime I'm standing here and preaching to you, I'm talking to myself as well, because there are things that I recognize the enemy wants to come in and infiltrate, and he wants to bring spiritual destruction in every one of our lives. So I want to live up, as always, I want to live up to my preaching. I want to live up to what the Bible's expectations is for us. So I'd like to turn to the book of 2 Timothy. We're not going to turn around at all today. It's not the plan anyway. I'd like to go to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and we're going to spend our time here today. And this chapter starts out, third chapter, first verse. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now you may say, well, what's this got to do with frogs? Well, stay with us and you'll find out. He says here that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And I believe that perilous means dangerous. It means a time that we have to be on full alert. And I believe that we are living in some of the last days. Whether, I also want you to know, I was listening to a message by one of the other older ministers that's dead and gone, and on the Church of God preaching this week, earlier in the week, and he said something that I had to say, you know, I guess I feel the same way. He made a comment that led me to believe that he was under the impression that if God was able to see real revival break out, that time could be extended. And I believe that every time that mankind has turned to the Lord, that time has been extended for mankind. The promise to Solomon was, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and repent, he said he'd heal their land. I believe that if our United States today would truly humble themselves before God and really repent for the error of their ways, I believe there could be some serious healing, a major healing in our nation. I believe there could be some things really turn around for the good. And I believe it would make God happy, and I also believe it would cause time to be extended a little longer, but I don't know how long the last days are going to last. It just says here that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, This is some of the descriptive things that is going to be happening. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, I know when we read through that list, there may be in some of those that you said, well, I'm not really sure that I understand what they're talking about. But I would venture that every one of us here could resonate with something in that list and say, I've seen that. It's happening in my neighborhood. It's happening maybe in my extended family. Maybe it's happening in the political realm that you observe. And maybe it's happening in our cities and states around us. And it says here that there's going to be some of those people that's doing those things, that's bringing us to the end. Those things that God doesn't like and God hates, and it's opposing God. There's going to be people that's doing some of those things and yet having a form of godliness. And maybe they don't have any of those, but they just have a form of godliness, but yet they don't really let God have control in their lives. He says, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So I want to focus in this morning on two phrases that's in this passage. We're talking about the end of time, the end in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times. If it's dangerous, then we need to be protecting ourselves. I think in our world around us, machinery in particular, the efforts that have been made to make machinery safe to operate, the facility where Rodney works has a lot of machinery. And there are all kinds of shields and guards and things to protect people from getting their fingers, their clothing, their hands, their heads, all this kind of stuff from being caught. If the machine is operating, you could probably just run over there and just lay on top of it if it wasn't too hot. And they might even have some shields to keep you from getting burned. But I could probably just walk into the machine that Rodney operates on a daily basis and just put my hands all over it and it wouldn't hurt me. And that's dramatically different than it was 100 years ago. I remember walking into a cotton gin with my father as a young boy, and it was a line shaft, cotton gin, if you knew what that was. There was a shaft that was turning down in the floor, driven by a big stationary engine, and there was flat belts that came out of the floor, and these belts were exposed, and they had put a few safeguards in it, but I'm going to tell you, it could have been dangerous really quick. So in the last days, it says perilous times is going to be. It's going to be perilous in the last days. And we have to put up the guards and the protection that will keep us from falling prey and being subjected to the things that would deceive and destroy our soul. I believe that we can lose our salvation. I believe that we can backslide. I believe that we can fall out of fellowship with God. So it's very important that I take precautions and not allow the perilous times that we live in. I believe we do live in perilous times, that we don't allow that to overcome us. So I wrote on the board, the frog generation. I wrote up that on the board because I want to get to a story, something that happened at my parents' house many years ago that included a frog. And right now I want us to focus on two phrases that's in this perilous times. One is lovers of pleasure, and the other is ever learning. It says here in verse 4, in the category of the things that identify the perilous times, is lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Do you recognize that there is a love of entertainment rather than loving a real personal experience with the Lord? We could take this at any level in our world today. And you could say, well, there are some churches out there that it's really more like entertainment. It's more like a concert. I remember one time, this has been probably 20 years ago now, I worked with a man, and I can't remember the subject of what we were going to do. Saturday came up at the end of the work week, and it was probably Friday at work, and something was said about Saturday, and he said, well, we have his wife were going to worship practice. And it was a little new to me, but they went and they practiced something that they were going to do for Sunday. In many times it's become a show. So why is that? Because perilous times. People have a craving in our world today to be entertained. It's pressing all around us. Verse 7 in what we read says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We live in something we call the information age. I would like to think all of us use it to our benefit. We have so much information at the touch of a button. We don't have to have books and books. Although I like books, and I think it would be really the epitome of wealth, I think, would be to have a room in your house that was a library, that you had just rows and rows of books and shelves, and that's all. To me, that would be a sign that somebody was wealthy if you had a library. But I'm going to tell you, all of those volumes out there has probably been uploaded on the internet somewheres. Maybe not all of them, but a lot of them have. If you don't believe me, just search it on the internet. You'll be surprised at how much information, and now with this thing that's coming along they call artificial intelligence or AI, it'll make up stuff sometimes. And there is so much information out there, but yet, how many really get the truth? In the last 10, 12 years, we've had this classification that it's been novel in the beginning, and now it's becoming a normal expression of fake information, false news, misinformation. These are terms that was not very popular 10 or 15 years ago, and now it's very common to talk about fake information. But it says here, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. So I want us to consider these two terms here. Ever learning and never really being able to get a hold of it, and lovers of pleasure. Pleasure and entertainment, we've already alluded to this, it's at the top of the list in most everyone's life. But being responsible, being gaining and implementing real knowledge and really applying oneself is at the bottom. There was a time that our students in school was required to memorize their lessons and recite them. You know, just talking this week, one of the fellows I work with, his mother grew up going to a one-room schoolhouse where probably the first 8 grades were all in one room. And a one-room schoolhouse, dramatically different than what we have today. But not only were students required to memorize their lessons, they had spelling bees and math contests on the chalkboard in front of the whole class. I actually remember being part of not the spelling bee so much, but going up to the blackboard and doing multiplication or division, and if you got the right answer first, the other person had to sit down. And the objective was to stay standing up at the board. I remember doing that. Oh, that would be very... I don't think that would go over. It wouldn't be popular today. Because you really had to know what you were doing when you was up there at the chalkboard, whether you were spelling words or doing math problems. In my lifetime, it's transitioned from learning like that to, if learning wasn't coupled with having fun, it didn't happen. That's where we're at today. If you can't be entertaining to teach someone something, you're probably not going to be asked to come back. It's probably, and it's not just the children, it's the adults too. If you can be a real, same way with probably preaching, people don't listen very good unless the person doing the teaching or preaching is entertaining too. Lord help us to know how to appreciate truth when we hear it. Because we live in a generation that's impacted by lovers of pleasure. I want to be entertained. I want to have fun while I'm doing it. If you can't have, I've had people say, he comes to work because he likes what he's doing, but if he can't have a little fun at work, he don't want to come to work. You heard people make some expression to that nature. So lovers of pleasure, if we allow that to be the dominant factor in our life, I'm going to tell you, it's going to lead us in a path that could be a problem. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't try to communicate in the best way possible, all right? I've found in my life that there's lessons that I've learned through adversity is some of those that I remember the best. Not because I was having a good time, but because I was probably having one of the worst times of my life. And I learned something through mistakes, through being oppressed, infringed upon, and all of that, that have stuck with me down through time. But if we couple lovers of pleasure and ever learning, we become very vulnerable to personal pleasure. You hear what I said? If we couple lovers of pleasure and ever learning together, we end up in a situation that can be treacherous called personal pleasure. I found that the primary ways or motivations for learning is curiosity, necessity, or requirement. The primary ways we learn is curiosity, necessity, and requirement. Many of us, I'm included in this, learned in school because there was a level of requirement that was either put on us or we felt it. I learned how to work on my bicycle out of necessity because I didn't want to wait on my father to come home, and when he had time, he could fix it. So when my chain came off and my tire went flat, I learned, because I watched him do it a few times, I learned how to put the chain back on. You put the chain on the little sprocket first, and then you roll it up on the big sprocket, just so you know. I learned how to patch a tire. It was because I wanted to ride my bicycle. But I learned those out of necessity. There was things I was required to learn that I grew up being required to learn how to vacuum out a car properly. I didn't like it. And my mother could spot a speck of dust from almost inside the house. I was also required to learn my multiplication tables in school. And I had a teacher that was probably older than my parents. And in the fifth grade, I remember so well, she stood at the front of the class and she said, every Friday from now until the end of school, if it takes that long, you're going to take a multiplication test, and it's going to be all of them, 0 times 0 through at least 10 times 10. It might have been 12 times 12, I don't remember. But you're going to take that every Friday until you get 100%. You don't miss any of them. And she was a pretty rigid teacher in many ways. I thought she was a good teacher because everybody learned their multiplication facts in her class. She said, this Friday, if you take the test and you get them all right, you make 100%, you get an A. She says, if you miss one, you got to take it next Friday. If you take it next Friday and you get all of them right, you get a B. If you miss one and you take it the third Friday and you get them all right, you get a C, and on down. And she says, I don't care if you take it every Friday from now until the end of school, you're going to get a perfect on it, even if I put an F in the grade book. You're going to learn the multiplication facts in my class. Now, that's a requirement. I learned them. They've been with me a long time now, and I didn't get an A. I'm thinking now about curiosity. Curiosity is where things can become dangerous quick. We learn things because, remember, the scripture said that people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. When it comes to multiplication facts, I know them. Still do. I still use them. I'm thankful that I had a teacher that required me to do that. I still fix stuff on a daily basis. And I'm thankful for that opportunity of necessity that taught me how to fix my bicycle. My dad, because he allowed me to do that, he equipped me with some tools and some patches and some glue and all the stuff that took to patch a tire. He equipped me to be able to fix a bicycle. But it was necessity that motivated me. I'm thankful for all of those things because they have been with me all of my life. And I believe I've learned some things that are true from those experiences. But we in our generation today and in the end times, we're at a place where the love of pleasure only causes us to want to learn something if it tickles our curiosity. If somebody tells you on your job, you're going to have to learn to do this or you're fired. How many of you say, oh, well, thank you very much. I've been wanting to have some motivation to do that. I would guess that every one of us would go home with some type of grumble. I don't know why they have to be so rigid. I don't know why they have to set that expectation. I was going to learn it someday, but they said if you don't learn it by Friday or don't learn it by the end of the month, that you're going to be fired. Well, that's a requirement, isn't it? We don't like that. That's the age we live in. We don't like somebody telling us you're required to get out of my class. You're going to have 100% on your multiplication. We don't like those kind of requirements. We don't like to have to learn from necessity. Well, why don't you just show me how to do it? Why don't you learn and then teach me? You know how many times that's been told to me down through my life? You figure out how to operate that piece of equipment, and then why don't you get us all together and show us how to do it? Well, the necessity is that we all learn how to do it. But in reality, that's the age we live in. We don't want to really learn something unless, huh, well, that looks interesting, or I'm curious, just how would this turn out? And that's what really motivates us today. It always has, but we're in an age where that's the predominant thing, if not the only thing, that will motivate us to learn something. Curiosity. I said it can become dangerous quicks. Did you know that curiosity was the motivation behind what caused mankind to get into sin in the first place? They were curious. They weren't required. They were actually required to stay away from that knowledge of good and evil, weren't they? But curiosity kept getting them a little closer and a little closer, and they learned something. And we're still dealing with the consequence, right? Many times, curiosity and the desire for pleasure puts us in a position that we learn things that we'd be better off not knowing. Curious about what's going on the other side of the wall. Curious about what someone else is doing. Curious about how something happened. Many times, we end up being taught things that we'd been better off not knowing. You got any of those in your mind, in your life? I'd venture all of us do. Because of curiosity, you took the lid off. Because of curiosity, you opened the door. You opened the book. You clicked on the website. You know where I'm going? Because of curiosity. And you got exposed to something that really you could have done without. I want to challenge us here today. We live in the age of pleasure. We live in the day of ever learning. There's so much information. There's so many things to learn. I'm just flabbergasted to think of all of the things to potentially learn that's constructive, that's good, that you can teach yourself, you might say, because there's so much information out there. You want to learn how to become and learn this trade or that trade or something else. The information is there. There's probably a curriculum online where you can learn it if you're curious. But what if somebody said you had to? We'd probably backpedal in a minute, wouldn't we? An appetite to know, motivated by curiosity, will put you in a place of responsibility. The things that we look at for pleasure and out of curiosity can put us in a place of very similar to Adam and Eve. Did you know it? Out of curiosity. The things that we consume. And we don't just consume things with our mouth. We consume things with our ears. We consume things with our eyes. We consume things in our minds. And as we start absorbing those things that we go after because it's curiosity, we live in an age where the information that comes our way is adapted to who we are. You're a male, over 50 years old. Google anticipates what you might look for. It's kind of scary, isn't it? You're a woman and you're 19 years old, you're going to get something different. And the world is, it's not just artificial intelligence. The world around us is doing its best to tickle our curiosity and cause us to click and to go and to move and absorb and ever learn and never come to the knowledge of truth. Always absorbing something and their purpose, not that there's somebody behind it all except the devil. If you want to learn how to lay bricks, you can learn on the internet. There's probably a YouTube video or a site that you can find on Google or something. There's pictures, there's things, and I will tell you that if you do a little research, you can become an expert and you won't ever get a diploma for it. You can be able to lay brick, you can lay block, you can learn how to weld. You can do all kinds of things. Somebody has posted something for free if you're curious enough to go looking for it. And just like all of those legitimate things, you can learn how to make rhubarb pie on the internet too. But just besides all of that, there's a whole bunch of sludge out there that'll bring your soul down to condemnation, and you'll be in the same place that Adam and Eve was, because curiosity was the motivation, and the thing behind it was because you love pleasure. You love gratifying something in the flesh, and if you allow that pleasure to be gratified, and you're constantly searching for something to gratify that, curiosity will lead you down into a place of condemnation. And then we can't raise our hand when we're singing. We can't testify on Wednesday night. We don't have any testimony of victory. Lord, help us all to be wary of the frog generation that's out there. So I'm going to tell you my story. Many, many years ago, at my parents' home, there was a frog that was caught. Or a toad, maybe. And it was discovered that if you rolled BBs down a board, this frog was mesmerized by the BB rolling toward him, and he'd open his mouth and swallow the BB. Well, if he'd swallow one, he might swallow two. And you roll another BB down, and he swallowed two, sure enough. You know, a frog is not real sharp, but it looked kind of like a fly, and he eats flies. And here comes a fly towards him, running right towards his mouth, and all he had to do was open his mouth. And he was mesmerized by the BBs rolling down the board to the point that he swallowed so many frogs that he could, or swallowed so many BBs that he couldn't move. You know, we can be mesmerized by the things going on around, the things that looks fun, the things that intrigue us. And we can be mesmerized and just swallow, and it'll immobilize us. I don't know how many BBs it took, but he opened his mouth to a bunch of BBs. And he got his throat, and I don't know where BBs go in a frog, but he got so many BBs in him that he couldn't hop. And the devil will mesmerize us by the things that we live in that generation. And people are mesmerized by this funny little video and that funny little video and this thing and that thing that's out there on the internet. And it's not real life, folks. It's not, yeah, it's real people, and it's all staged, and it's not a happen chance that they filmed it. They planned it all just to get likes, just to get approval ratings and all. And we get mesmerized by it, and we end up learning things and being consumed. If nothing else, we spent our time on something and got almost nothing out of it except maybe a chuckle. Lord, help us. Curiosity and ever learning. You know, there's something that I find fascinating, and it's curiosity causes me to be attracted to it, but yet I wonder how many times people fall. And that's these people that run and hit one side of the wall and then jump and grab the other side, and they end up going up the side of a building with no ladder. Oh, that's fascinating, isn't it? Curious. I can watch that and get done, and you know what I got? Just an empty head. Because I can't do that. And I wonder how many of them fell and splattered themselves on the sidewalk below all that. You know, curiosity will cause us to be mesmerized by things out there. I'm talking about right where we live, because none of us are exempt from the curiosity of clicking on what that really was. And it's all staged. It's all, you know, Lord help us. I want to be victorious. The Bible teaches us, unless we are pay attention to the perilous times that we live in, we're going to end up holding the bag. We're going to end up empty-handed. And I don't want to end up there. I want to end up hearing Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I know that I can't be mesmerized by BBs rolling down a board and just swallowing what comes my way, because that's what the enemy will want to do. He'll mesmerize you with the things that you're curious about and just keep feeding you a little bit more and a little bit more. And pretty soon you'll wonder, how did I get out here? If you ever come to that realization. He'll starve your soul completely out. Lord, help us to take it by force. To take charge and take responsibility and be accountable to God. Ultimately, you can be accountable to one another if you want to, and sometimes that helps a little bit, but ultimately we got to be accountable to God. He's the one I've got, the one with whom I have to do, as the scripture says. He's the one that is going to have to put His stamp of approval or disapproval. He's the one that's going to say you're going to have to know your multiplication tables or you don't get in. Right? That's what my teacher told me. You don't get out of my class without learning the multiplication tables. I wonder how many people that went to school with me today can say, you know, I really appreciate, her name was Hamrick. Even sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? Hamrick. Her last name was Hamrick. And she taught us, you don't get out of my fifth grade math class if you don't know your multiplication tables. And I wonder how many of us that was in that class today says, I sure am glad she made us learn those. I'm glad she did. Because I can multiply in my head. Because she made me. What did Apostle Paul say in one place? I'll bring my body under. I don't think it's any virtue in actually doing your body harm, but I'm going to tell you, we have to bring our thoughts and our curiosity into subjection to the Lord. If we don't, it's going to be our demise, our spiritual demise. If you're in a high-paced, hands-on work environment, you know how to get in disfavor with your boss? Begin doing things that distract you, like being distracted by listening to something or watching something besides what you're supposed to be doing. You'll get in disfavor. You might find yourself unemployed. That's why people in the work world have to deal with no cell phones on the job. It's because people are mesmerized by something that's going on social media, or what they found, some video they're watching or something like that. Lord, help us. There's not anybody here that's exempt, because every one of us have the availability and the access point. And Lord, help us not to become mesmerized and just swallow the BBs like the frogs. Because we live in a frog generation that's just swallowing whatever is being fed to them. And we'll swallow so much that we'll not be able to hop. We'll be immobilized. And the end of that story was, if you pick the frog up, the BBs come out. And then you can do it again. Because the frog didn't learn nothing. We have to be careful, or we'll be a frog generation. We'll just swallow it, and we'll come to the Lord and say, Lord, help me, and the Lord will help you. And if we're not careful, we'll get all the BB shook out of us, and we'll go right back and do the same thing. Unless we know that's a BB, that's the devil, that's something that's just my curiosity, and I got to cut it off right here. Lord, help us to have the strength and the courage to not be part of the frog generation. You pray for me.